not talking. We're getting ready to start. You're talking about a CPAP thing. And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partner, Shane Manila.
Hi, I'm Shane, and I haven't died yet. So depending on when you listen to this, this might have been my last podcast.
at DFF underscore Shane. And we're live here again at the FFPC in Las Vegas. And this morning, they're over there talking. But we're joined with Mike Fanaro. Mike Fanaro. Everybody says Fanaro, but it's Fanaro. How you doing, Mike?
Great. This is a fun time here at the FFPC.
And now you're one of our new podcast hosts, correct?
That's right. I'll be co-hosting Rookie Fever this year. I'm really looking forward to talking about where these rookies are going in this big FFPC tournament.
Yeah, there is so many drafts going on. We had a whole bunch of them on Thursday. We had a whole bunch of them yesterday on Saturday. And now it's all wrapping up. I think there's the group that's going on right now. Then they're taking a break. And then the final group will be at 2 o'clock. So what we're going to do while we're sitting here for the next couple hours is we're going to rotate some of the co-hosts from the different shows in and out of sitting here at the table, and Shane is feverishly looking through stuff. We just saw somebody pick up somebody in one of my leagues. They picked up DeMarco Murray, and so everybody was like checking the computers to see if something happened, right?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of times you don't have a lot of time to make a move in this media-driven, Twitter-fueled fantasy football world. So you'll just pick a guy up, and, just you see him trending, so you're like, let me pick him up now, and then you actually look at the news blurb and he actually died, and it's like, but he's not going to help my roster even a little bit then.
Yeah, but not in this case. Well, for this one, we thought something might have happened, and we did a search, and it turns out he's broadcasting his first college football game.
Yes, DeMarco Murray has not died. We're not breaking any news right now.
He's now a college football analyst. Is that what he's doing?
Yeah,
so
Fox.
You guys can safely drop him from any of your rosters if you have him, and whoever did just pick him up in that one league, I guess you could probably drop him as well. So one of the things we're going to talk with you, Mike, with your show
Rookie Fever.
Yep. Michael has the fever, not the kind that burns.
Yeah, I didn't want to say rookie show because that's wrong, but Rookie Fever. One of the things you were looking at, I know you were walking around the room checking out all the different boards to see if this is essentially a redraft all these people are doing. So there's not a whole lot of, like you were saying, rookie wide receivers, but you did see that there's some important rookie running backs that are being taken in these drafts.
Yeah, absolutely. The one that surprised me the most, and it's not a huge surprise, but just how high he was being taken. I looked at several boards. They have them all throughout the conference hall here. It's actually kind of fun to take a walk and look at all of them.
I think if people look at all our Twitter feeds and stuff, I mean, even the main one, we have some video and some shots of all these hallways. But
absolutely.
Yeah, there's boards
it's
everywhere.
It's just lined up and down all over the place.
Shane is like pointing at somebody walking by.
I was trying to get them to take some video of her, but they didn't.
No, he was not moving that video camera off of us. But go ahead, Mike.
There's a lot of action here. There's no doubt about that.
This is the place to come if you're a single male and you're in the fantasy football. Like, this is pretty much heaven or whatever version of heaven you follow.
Oh, my God.
Just saying, there's a lot of attractive women.
Shane is
there's high stakes fantasy football, alcohol, and other things if you're into them. So it's good stuff.
All right, and now back to fantasy football and rookie talk.
And those boards that were in the hallway.
Yes, and all the boards.
Yes. Royce Freeman was the big one, almost across the board, third round. I saw him go a couple picks after Devontae Freeman.
Really?
Yeah, like that high. And if you're strictly looking at these boards from a rookie standpoint, wide receivers are all dart throws. Nobody's believing in them much. You know, you got your DJ Moore is probably the highest one, which you wouldn't be surprised by that.
No.
He's going maybe 12th, 13th round.
How many rounds do these drafts go?
It's like they all vary a little bit, but 20 is the main one.
20?
Yeah,
okay.
I saw one that went to 28, and I don't know what that was.
I saw Shane lean in. Yeah, sometimes you need to...
Freeman's a guy some of us were on for a while. I'll toot my own horn. I was on him before the draft, said he was going to be a great first-round rookie pick, in dynasty drafts. I know our Debbie guys were on him a while back, and everyone came around on him a little later. I was lucky, though. I was able to get him in a lot of drafts towards the end of the first round, but rookie drafts that, you know, were just happening in a few weeks before the season started. He was going pretty high, like 105 or so.
Not shocked. You got to love that landing spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's why he's getting drafted so high. I mean, that's a great landing spot for him.
Well, it does also seem like a lot of these drafts, if you go down the hall, I didn't look at every one of them, but it looks to me like 85% of them, that whole first round is running back, running. Todd Gurley's like the number one on almost all of them. I know you said DJ.
But, yeah, a lot of DJ too.
Yeah. But it's a lot of running backs.
Actually, the real fun thing, if you go away from Rookie Fever, is to see where Le'Veon Bell's getting picked in these drafts. I mean, it's amazing. The disparity where he's getting drafted right now. It's the risk takers, right? The risk takers like are grabbing them. Like,
yeah.
Give them to me late. Like, cause I saw somebody got him in the third round.
Really?
Yeah. And that's I don't think I could let him fall that far.
No.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Shane, we've talked about Le'Veon Bell a lot and everything like that. And even this morning, I woke up to a trade offer in one of my leagues where somebody offered me Le'Veon Bell and Sterling Shepard for Todd Gurley. Which, obviously...
Sterling Shepard adds nothing to that. Like, that's like, they're basically close, but I'll throw in this little piece.
Right.
Like, for that, they're instead of throwing in a rookie pick, I wouldn't take that. I like Bell, but unfortunately, he might not play until week 11. And even then, he might not play, because you figure he's going to be out the first 10 weeks, or he could be. Say he's out the first 10 weeks, I'm guessing he's not going to be able to play immediately, you know, the next game. No, and just the age difference there, the wear. Unfortunately, you have to go with Gurley there.
Well, and my whole point with it was, I mean, it wasn't even a consideration for me because, you know, I've talked about it for months. I don't want Bell at all. But I did see, like, within 10 minutes of that happening, John Bosch, Christopher, and I'm sorry, Chris, I always say...
Svoboda. He's a hockey player.
Yes, okay. I'm sorry about messing up that last name, but they were actually talking about these trades. And they were saying that he said... John sent out a bunch of Le'Veon Bell offers, and he got everything turned down. And one thing that he tweeted out was saying, it looks like I can't move him. And then Chris was saying, you're going to have to add stuff to Bell to try to move him. Do you agree with that? Do you think that if you're going to try to get rid of Bell now, you've got to put stuff together? Or are you even trying to get rid of him if you have him?
I think you hold Bell. I don't think you trade Bell right now. And there's a lot of reports saying that he could report today and get a game check.
Yeah? Oh, really? Today?
Yeah,
as long as he signs before Sunday.
Like, I know the 10-game thing's hanging out there and everyone's talking about it. That's scary as hell. I get it. But I don't think you can do anything with Le'Veon Bell right now. Not at value.
Yeah.
You know what? I'd actually be buying on Bell. I like that he's taking a year off, basically. let him recharge a lot because, you know, Pittsburgh has basically tried to kill him on the field with the amount of touches they give him, over 400 each year. I'll buy Bell. This is a year off for him. You know, hopefully it'll enable him to play 3-4 more seasons at the level we've seen. And get him at a discount now if someone's actually buying him. So, John, if you're listening, send me a trade offer, buddy.
Well, back to the rookies.
That was part of why I brought it up too. I thought you would throw that out to John to send you an offer. But go ahead. You were
last
saying, Mike?
Last year's rookie, John Connor, his value is just skyrocketing.
Oh yeah,
now, that's a guy. Like if you have John Connor right now, James.
John Connor.
John Connor is like from the Terminator.
No, but he would be pretty awesome.
No, if you had him.
Grown?
Yeah.
Grown John Connor. Not young John Connor when he didn't know. Right. When he grown John Connor was basically, he could beat the Terminator, right? And he could time travel, so that's got to be helpful in football some way.
See, now what's great is maybe if we were in the studio doing this stuff, then maybe we would have edited that. But the fact
probably.
That we're live right now, it's
that.
Way much more fun, though.
No, I would have left it in.
Well, no, well, that's our
look,
show.
I can't say people's names all the time. Like, all the time I say, you know, that guy, the guy.
So you were saying James Conner. Yes.
James Conner value is skyrocketing right now.
Yeah.
I have him in a couple leagues, and I just feel like I just got to sell right now because I feel like it can't get much higher than it is right now.
Wasn't on one of those boards up there, he was like really highly drafted, in the second round or something like that? Somebody took him over there?
He got in the second round.
He did.
In one of those boards, yeah. One of them, he's in the first round, but we don't understand what that league was because there was a kicker and it was really weird.
So I'm a little disappointed in myself. I didn't do enough research. There's FFPC leagues here that were drafting this weekend for less than $1,900, $1,800. Obviously, there are ones that were more.
Yeah, but you told me it was 19.
I was wrong. I saw saw a board out there for $750.
Oh.
It's some kind of draft. I'm pissed off. If I had known that, I would I would have done that.
You know what's funny? When you say that about the money in these leagues, we went to a viewing party on Thursday night where they let all the people here from FFPC go in there and watch the games. So there's a lot of people in there that have spent a lot of money on some of this stuff. But I was down in the casino with LJ, and we made a couple side bets on that game. But I bet, like, there was this one 60-1 thing where there'd be no touchdowns scored. So, and they were all like, that's never going to happen. So I threw $5 down. I win $300, you know, whatever. And then we go to see the game, and it's pouring. Like, the game was like an hour rain delay or whatever it was. So I was like, oh, this is awesome. Maybe they won't score. And then we get all the way into the third quarter, and there's still no touchdown. And everybody in the room is hating the game. They're saying it's the most boring game. And I was like having so much fun. I was like, no, please don't score. It was, and then once they scored, it was over. So who cares? But
I was extremely obnoxious.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, you weren't there for all the boring stuff. You showed up in the fourth quarter of the game.
Very good time to show up, and I was losing my shit when the refs tried to hand the game to the Falcons, and Matt Ryan could not hit Julio Jones in the end zone. How tall is Julio Jones? Like 6'4"? He can jump 116 inches in the air. And somehow Matt Ryan cannot hit that son of a bitch in the end zone against the Eagles. It makes me happy, but Christ.
You were funny because it was like down to what, maybe a minute and something left, and they were bringing the ball down the field, and you were cursing. You were saying some stuff that... definitely not
inappropriate.
even no, Shane's not inappropriate.
No, no. Even with our Patreon one, I think we still would have had to.
I was wishing ill on people's mothers. Football is very, you know, very passionate game.
And we were standing in the back of the room too.
But I have matured. I used to wish ill upon people's children, and I realized that's a terrible thing to wish. As soon as I had children, and I was like, oh, no, don't do that. But their mothers, I feel is fair game, right? When they're refs and they do shit like that, clearly something's wrong with their mom anyway, and the way they raised that child.
Back up from the mic a little bit, because that was really loud.
I'm sorry.
It's just really funny because we have to edit on the fly and stuff like that. So, I mean, I know you got really excited about it, but all the levels just like shut.
So we're
going to
do the
board.
Patreon version, right? Wait.
Shane got excited?
Well, so yeah, I mean, listen,
for
yes.
The Patreon version, what I said was, I hope your mother...
No.
maybe we should just stay away from it.
It doesn't work if you're trying to remember and you're slowly saying it. You had to feel the passion and the excitement and the anger that you had.
I tried to get an Eagles chant going, too, but no one joined in.
Hey, speaking of... Oh, never mind. Forget it.
What, the Eagles? Dallas Schroeder's a rookie? Okay. See, that's a segue.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Nice. Did you say way back to me?
Yeah, but I thought we were going to say something else. But yeah, go ahead. Back to you.
Where's Dallas Goedert been going in these drafts? Goddard.
Yep. Goddard. There we go. Thank you for that. All right. So Goddard's going around the 14th or 15th round.
Yeah.
Steal.
It's kind of where like Hurst is also going in that same exact area. Mm.
Wait, Hayden Hurst went there because he's going to be out the first four 15th, games.
16th, yeah.
But so people. Oh well, yeah. near the end.
You know what? Here's the thing too, though. This draft. These drafts have been happening all weekend, and it actually just came out yesterday, I think, that Alshon said that he's still not going to be back for a few weeks. He didn't say it in so many words, but he said he still has bad days and good days where his shoulder is extremely sore. And it also came out that Carson Wentz is likely to miss the entire month of September. RIP Nelson Aguilar shares, although he did drop 8 receptions for
like, was it 40 yards?
31 yards. But he did also have a 15-yard pass.
So Mike, why don't you tell everybody about the show? I mean, it's a relatively new show, right?
Yep,
it was a reboot.
Got a little rebooted, a little revamped.
Right.
Swags is hosting the show with me. We're going to be doing... Rookie Fever, honestly, like, obviously, we all know when that time really is when we're drafting our rookies.
Right.
But right now, we get to find out very soon. For example, I was seeing tweets about Calvin Ridley. like, where is this guy? You know, everyone was high on Calvin Ridley. Like, oh, my God, alongside of Julio Jones, like, this guy has a real opportunity. First game out of the gate, we didn't even know where Calvin Ridley was. I think he got three targets the whole game.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, Julio, he saw at least 17 targets.
It was insane.
Out of 29 pass attempts or something.
Are you just making that up?
No, I don't think he is. Okay. It sounds made up.
It sounds made up. That's why.
I don't think it is.
Well, I'll look it up right here just to be certain. So Julio dropped 10 for 169. Also had one rushing attempt for 11 yards.
Yeah, I saw that end around early in the game.
I was not conscious during that, so I'll just take your word for it.
Yeah, what happened to you yesterday, Shane?
Oh, that's what I was just going to say. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was all on Thursday. Yesterday on Friday, we didn't see Shane at all. nobody did.
I almost died. So I decided just to sleep instead. We went out Friday evening. I don't even know what day it is. We went out Thursday evening.
Yeah.
And I drank a lot of alcohol that then seeped throughout my pores for the next 15 hours.
Yeah, even the interview that I did with Jacinia, it was like 6 o'clock at night and you were going to come. And then you're like,
no,
I'm still in bed. So we're like, okay, no problem.
Well, we're glad to have you this morning, Shane. You look good.
16 hours of sleep is amazing. It will really refresh you. And if you can, I suggest you get 16 hours of sleep.
So, all right. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to tell about the show? Because we did kind of go
that's
off
what Shane,
of it.
Yeah, you know, Shane, I went over to Shane. I mean, it's all about Shane.
It's not all about Shane. Right now, it's all about you because we're going to be rotating more people in.
Tell us about Rookie Fever. What else? Or what are you going to do in season?
Yeah, so that's what I was saying. So, so the rookie, and I actually segued straight out of it with the Julio Jones talk.
Exactly.
Yeah, but these rookies are now, we find out where they are on the depth chart. We find out, like, literally how much volume they're going to get, how much, you know, action they're going to see on the field, and then what they can actually do with that, right? So I think for the next 6 to 7 weeks, I think everybody still has rookie fever because we just drafted these guys. We want everyone to succeed. They're not all going to succeed. Some of these are going to fail miserably, right? So we're going to get to find that out in like the next 6 to 8 weeks, which is kind of fun. So we're going to talk a lot about that, where their drafts, oh, not the draft stock, where their stock is, where they are in the depth chart, how they're performing. And then after that, I think you can start maybe mid-season to late season, start talking about the next class coming up.
Yeah.
Because you already start to get excited about them. Once you especially Jeremy Nichols.
Well,
my second round draft pick from last year. Like, when your second round draft pick is like that, you're looking at next year.
Well, see, but I think you're right, though, too. When you're saying about that time of year, at that time of year, you're also going to start getting teams that are close to being out of it. You know, they're going to be looking at their team. They're going to be like, all right, I'm not making a run this year.
Sure. Speak for yourself.
So I'm not
loser.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the people that do that. I never give up. But what I'm saying is people do. So they start getting into the mentality of trading for picks and looking towards the future of what they're going to do.
Sure.
So you guys can speak about that too.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell everybody also what you do for the website? You know, because you are the host of that podcast, but you do so much more.
Thank you. That's only a very new thing that I'm doing. But so my baby right now are the Factory Quick Takes that are coming out. So Factory Quick Takes, they're taking off pretty well. We're really hoping that maybe 12 to 15 of them go out every month, and they're going to come from the whole podcast family. So Trades HQ will do one. Capology 101 will do one. Every single Rookie Fever will do one. Every single pod can get some of these out there, because when something happens like this Le'Veon Bell, it affects a lot of different situations, and because we're so pod centric, each pod could talk from that, you know, standpoint, right?
Right.
So like there might be a trade aspect to it, there might be a salary cap aspect to it. You know, there's a lot of money talk right now with Le'Veon Bell,
right?
Like if he reports today, he gets his paycheck. If he doesn't, he doesn't. And now there's this talk about like, how much money would he lose? I don't even know. The Capology 101 would know. There's a lot of money that he would lose by not reporting until week 11.
Right.
Those game checks.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's on a $14 million franchise tag, so whatever 10/16ths of $14 million is, I know that math is way above my pay scale. I'm going to just make up a number and say that it's $9.86 million.
I think it's a lot of money.
Well, we'll have Jason on in a little while, and we could talk to him about that at the time. I know he did tell me that he wants to talk about Le'Veon Bell when he gets up here. So
the Factory Quick Takes are super fun. They're out there. I also do all the logo design, so the graphic design for the logos that you see on the website, promo videos that we've done over the last year. I've created that. My own video production company. So I've been using my resources and skills to do that and bring that to DFF. I think a lot of kind of what makes us unique is that video content. And I really am excited about providing more video content to our viewers and our listeners.
That's cool. And, you know, you mentioned about the quick takes, and we tweeted out a little while ago that we were going to have all the podcast personalities on, and then we were going to have a special guest star from the Factory Quick Takes, Stuart. He's like, yeah, hey, you want to come on? Because I know you said you wanted to mention a couple things, plus you also had a trade alert that you wanted, or a Trash Dynasty trade you wanted to talk to Shane about.
Imagine me screaming that out here. So real quick, I just jumped on the Falcons-Eagles stats, and Jesus Christ, this is awful. This is one of the worst lines I've ever seen. Aguilar, 8 for 33. Ertz had a decent game. He dropped a couple passes. But the only other receivers that looked like had a reception for the Eagles was DeAndre Carter. And I don't even know if he's a real person. And I'm on ESPN.
When he came out of the audience?
It might have. It might have. And then looking at Atlanta, you can't even see on ESPN, you can't even see how many targets Calvin Ridley had because he had no freaking receptions. Matt Ryan, that's his name. He put up 43 attempts. 19 of those passes went to Julio. So I think Julio is he's a safe play. I don't know if you guys have heard of Julio Jones. He's going to have a big season. He's not going to score touchdowns again, but that's because Matt Ryan can't hit a 6'4" guy that jumps 136 inches in the air.
But you still go with him. So, Stuart.
But for Nick Foles, for the Eagles, Aguilar and Ertz, still good. Jai, bye.
Wait, are you saying buy as in buy and sell or buy as in see you later?
No. I hope people bought on him.
Oh, okay.
Really good game.
So, Stuart, Mike mentioned the Factory Quick Takes. So, I know that you're part of that too. So.
Yep. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. we've been able to get it going the last couple weeks. It's been something that we've been wanting to do for a while. We've been trying to get a couple different video projects going. And this is one that's really stuck and that's gotten the most views. And one that we both really like. They've gotten to invest in time in and really up the production quality of the whole deal. And it's great from a production standpoint because it's so streamlined that, assuming, content gets given to us, all the content that we really kind of need. It takes, an hour and a half or 2 hours to kick those things out, so we can get some really relevant information out very quickly.
And how are people seeing those?
Oh, it's not all on Twitter. Everything goes out through the DFF Dynasty. Or is that right, DFF Dynasty?
No, it goes through to Factory Sports, I believe. It goes through to Factory Sports. But don't worry, I'll retweet it.
Yeah, whatever Shane
Mike
says.
Mike will retweet it. Stuart will retweet it.
So they're quick little takes that people are able to see off of their Twitter timeline is what you're saying.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've gotten a couple of those out. Debbie Watch did one on a couple of different running backs in college that they really liked. Kylan Hill was one of those guys.
How about Justice? Did they do Justice Hill?
Nope. Okay. Not yet.
You should suggest that to them.
Is there going to be a place on the site for it as well, or is it only on Twitter? Hey,
Mike Fernando is going to jump back in here.
Okay. All right. Well, wait, Stuart.
Wait, no, go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah you guys.
Too much fun.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, there'll be a place on the YouTube site where they're right now on YouTube.
On YouTube.
Yeah, every single time we put one up, it goes back on YouTube.
And if they're on the main site, on Dynasty Football Factory?
I think currently they won't be.
There won't be, but there'll be a link to the YouTube,
though? Yeah, there might be a time, but right now they're just on the YouTube.
Just because some people have, thousands of people they're following on Twitter, and their Twitter timeline's shooting by, and they may not get to see the little quick takes. So
but
I was just
they should be following whatever handle it's tweeting out from.
Right, but if they're
And we'll figure that out at some point.
You were talking about somebody earlier about like following like 5,000 people or whatever, and then your timeline starts booming past. But okay, so you wanted to ask about oh, there was something else?
Yeah, well, I mean, like one of the reasons that we're on Twitter, we're on YouTube, is because we want to come to you, our audience, and we want to become like your go-to source for these different kinds of things. That's why we keep them really short. Like I said, like they're, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, just trying to even get that down a little bit farther, because we want to get you the most relevant information, the most useful information as quickly as possible. You know, we're the places where you're going to be. You're going to be on YouTube. You're going to be on Twitter. Just make sure to follow all of us.
Right.
And you're going to get that information. You know, and you know, we've got a couple different things. Like I said, Debbie did some stuff. I've got a weekly one that I do on my plays of the week, different plays that from different games that I think have fantasy relevance or implications. You know, Leonard Fournette had a 20-something yard touchdown run where Andrew Norwell opened up an enormous hole for him, and that's something you're going to see all season. Mike Williams coming down with a great catch in the end zone. Randy Mossen over a defender over there. Now, number two wide receiver on a team with 153 missing targets since last year. He can be very fantasy relevant this year in the 10th round. Stuff like that, where you see something like, hey, this is important. There are implications here. Reach for these guys and grab them because they're going to be useful. And that's what we want to do, provide relevant information quickly for you.
And
plus, I mean, let's be honest, it's fun to look at cool stuff.
Well, I was just going to say, especially now, everybody's so excited about the football season starting and all these things happening. You could essentially be sitting there hours all day making all these little quick takes every weekend from all the different things that are going to happen in these games, you know? So you're going to have to pick and choose some of that stuff or you're going to go crazy.
We have a great team of people.
How many people do you have working on it?
Let's see. So right now it's Finero and myself for the most part, but we've
so
got
you're
a couple
just
other
great.
People trying to bring on. What I'm saying is with the
when
network,
you said great
we have
people,
a great team
yeah.
of people who right. like will text me and be like, hey, like look at this play, look at... No, Fernero pointed Peyton Barber asked me a couple of runs that he had in one of the preseason games. Stuff like that. They made it onto the different shows.
Cool. Well, I know you said you wanted a trade offer you wanted to mention.
So wait,
Shane, pay attention.
I'm listening. I've been listening this whole time.
I know, but look at our guest while he tells you his trade.
He's looking at me very strangely, so I don't want to make eye contact.
I just left sitting next to you. He's wearing this wonderful perfume.
It is a lovely perfume.
Is it?
He calls it cologne, but I've seen it.
Issey Miyake. That's what old guys like me wear.
Oh, that's what you were writing in the thread.
Speaking of old guys, I thought that Shane just had a really crappy microphone. Turns out that's just what he sounds like.
My voice is awful.
All right, so
I like
this
your
guy
voice.
Said this trade. He's been working to try to get a couple of different players for me for a while. He wants some wide receiver depth. Full PPR dynasty is the first year. Excuse me. This is the first trade he sent me. He wanted to give me Tyreek Hill and Rashad Penny. I like him. He wanted Stephon Diggs and Keenan Allen. Diggs and Allen for Hill and Penny.
I could tell Shane is listening.
Just had a stroke.
I was going to say, I could tell he is listening because he's typing, and then he freezes.
Wait, bring that back.
Rashad Penny and Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. He wanted Stephon Diggs and Keenan Allen, full point PPR.
Why? Why? That's not fair. No, I'm going to turn that down.
You are?
It has since progressed.
I'm having trouble.
Oh, it's changed? You declined it and he sent you another one?
Yeah, well, no, this has been weeks. He's been trying to get one of these players.
Oh, really?
This is how we open up a trade conversation.
Well, here's the thing, though. Tyreek Hill is better than Keenan Allen. and Rashad Penny... And so, if Stephon Diggs is actually healthy all year and not on the injured report, he could be a top five wide receiver. So, yeah, that's not that close.
No.
I wouldn't say it's trash, though.
Okay. Well,
it's trash? Okay.
I will call it moderately smelly trade offer. That's our new hashtag. Moderately smelly trade offer alert.
Not another long, hard to write.
Tweeting it out right now.
Oh, I can dig it.
Oh, shit. And then I got to figure it out when I go to write the show script and stuff. We'll never remember exactly. Okay, so you said it progressed, though. What did it progress to?
It progressed to him trying to get Keenan Allen, and he only wanted to give me Rashad Penny and Sammy Watkins. Penny and Watkins for Keenan Allen.
That's one of those trying to trade two nickels for 40 cents, whatever the saying is.
It went worse than what you had before. Yeah, exactly.
I'm a huge Diggs fan. I mean, I'm a Watkins believer, but I'm not about to sell, a potential, a top five.
But Diggs isn't in there
Keenan
anymore.
Allen.
Yeah, no. Well, but yeah, I said it got worse because took Diggs out, and now
a little bit better, but still, I love Rashad Penny. I love Sammy Watkins. He knows that, but I'm not going to give up a guy who I think is a top five, top ten, you know, dynasty asset in Keenan Allen.
No, we agree with you. And Shane, did you just tweet that out? That
moderately smelly trade offer? Yes. Well, this is how patents work. I tweet it out first, which means I own the rights to it.
And it's not how it works at all.
No, that's law.
I will say this. I forgot that we're being live streamed right now. So if there's people watching this live, they may already
We're so sorry.
They may already be doing your smelly hashtag, whatever. I already forgot.
Moderately smelly trade offers.
So if you are watching this, send out that hashtag. I'd like to see if anybody does do it.
I own the rights to it.
That would be pretty funny. Well, thanks, Stuart, for coming in here and talking about that. That's really cool. I think, Jason, are you eating or are you coming over?
Coming over.
All right. We're going to have Jason come on in here and talk.
Hopefully he worked out the math on that Le'Veon Bell check. I expect exact figures.
Well, that's the thing. Thank you, Stuart.
Thanks, guys.
Nobody said anything about us being too loud. There's a couple times. Wait, I just heard John Connor again. Listen, the thing is, before Jason came over here, before we started recording, he said he really wanted to talk about this Le'Veon Bell thing, correct?
Yes, sir.
So they brought it up a few minutes ago, but we'll bring it back to him. But why don't you tell everybody who you are, Jason?
It's Jason Waltner, one of the co-hosts for Capology 101, part of the DFF network of podcasts. And you can give me a follow at DFFJ Waltner.
Tell everybody about Capology. If they don't know your show, what is it about?
Is it
what
about hats?
No, it's not.
It's about hats?
It's not about caps as far as hats.
Jason and I have the same problem with hats, too, though. It doesn't fit our heads.
Fit our heads, right. But I'm still rocking it. Got to go hard.
I can't with the headphones, but go ahead.
So basically what Capology is we are breaking down the NFL salary, the actual NFL salary cap to help give dynasty and keeper owners insight into guys who can be cut due to their salary. So you want to marry the production with the salary, see if they're going to justify it, and that way you can stay a year ahead of your whole entire league. An example I was given before was by doing that, and actually what kind of really encouraged me to do this Capology thing was I was able to parlay Forte and Charles before they got bad. So Forte's last year in Chicago.
Right.
And then before Charles got hurt, I was able to parlay them into picks to end up getting Zeke and Gurley.
Oh, okay. And you did that based on knowing what their salary cap
was? Was that a kindergartner's league?
No.
Didn't essentially move those two. He's just saying that it was part of the building block of him doing it because he used that foundation.
I need to see photos.
That's great.
Right now, back to my issue here.
Yes, your issue, because you were very passionate about it before we started recording.
Yes, and I need extreme help. I did put out a Twitter poll, and it came back kind of not the way I wanted it to. So I didn't know what to do.
So I'm going
to
do a new poll.
Yeah, so and he wants your opinion, Shane, so pay attention.
Well, I need you guys to just chime in here. Shane, here with me? Okay, we're good. So basically, just to give some insight real quick, is my running backs.
You've lost me.
Talking too much for him. So my running backs right now
These are the conversations him and I have on the phone, too. Yeah, okay, I'm done.
Too many
Go
words.
Ahead.
So I have Bell.
Okay.
Gurley.
Yes.
Zeke.
Uh-huh.
And Mixon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, trade Bell.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say, too.
I'm trying to maximize on him because he's my oldest running back. Now, here's the thing. I have an offer for 3 first-round picks for Bell.
And I told him to take it.
Yeah, you take that.
That's what I said, too. I was like, take it.
Though, but they're going to be late-round picks.
So what?
How do you know?
Because looking at the guy's roster.
Okay.
He has DJ. Uh-huh. Then he'll have Bell.
Oh.
And then this guy. And then he'll have has 2 top 10 receivers.
All right, so let's just play this out. Say DJ comes out, and the Arizona offense is absolute hot trash. Sam Bradford is Sam Bradford. Gets injured week 3, then they got a rookie in there. Fitzmagic misses a few weeks.
It's a little too specific.
DJ, I'm just saying, there's lots of things that can happen. You don't know that they're all going to be late. They're not all his. Wait, they're all for next year, right? They're not spread out over 3 years, are they?
No, all for the next 3 years.
That.
Oh, wait, so you're saying it's the 19, 20, and 21st. Oh, no, that's different then.
As of this year, even missing DJ all year, he finished ninth. He had the ninth pick.
It doesn't really matter where he finished before because every year is different and he could finish at the top or the bottom. It doesn't matter. But you're right. You're talking 3 years down the road. I thought you meant somebody was offering you three first round picks this year.
No, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's different. So have you been working with this guy for a while or is this the opening?
No, he's been trying hard, actually. He made a few other offers where he did offer three first round picks. And he offered me, like, two, like, you know, sub-players. I can't remember who they were right now, but they really were just kind of throw-ins.
So every offer he gives you, he just tries to give you his future first-round picks.
Right.
Yeah, no, never mind.
Again, 3 years is too spread out. Even if, like, two of them were next year and one was the following year, I'd probably do that, but not...
Wait, two next year and one the... Oh, two 19 and a 20. Okay, yeah.
Yep, that's how numbers work. Sequential.
So, oh, wait, sorry, yeah, I just said it. You just got me to say a BF word.
Can you verify, is that how numbers work?
But I'll have to do some confirmation.
You're the one who always says you don't know how numbers work. How did I get screwed?
I know
screwed
they go in a row. They're sequential.
Yeah, but when... Okay, forget it. I'm not even going to talk
about
it.
It'll always be 1, 2, 3.
I know
always.
That, but the way he said... It doesn't matter anymore. So, all right. So then, obviously, now we're saying don't do the trade. So, are you going to counter him? Are you going to try to go after him because you know that he's trying to get it from you? Or does he have anything else that you want?
I mean, he really doesn't have much that I would want.
Yeah.
I thought you said his team was good. What wide receivers does he have?
Wait, that's true. Yeah, you said he had two top wide receivers. Who's
but he didn't want to give him up for Bell.
Well, that's too fucking bad. Then you're not making the trade.
Well, that's why I'm asking you guys.
This is why, you know, I don't talk to people because this is how it comes across if I were to, like, speak to him about a trade. I'm like, what? No. Or how stupid are you? And then...
You know what's funny? We actually had that conversation last night. Mike is over there shaking his head about saying, how stupid are you? You know, some people take that personally, and they don't need to take that personally. But
if you call them stupid?
When you're talking about a trade.
Honestly, they should take that personally.
What I'm saying is different people are different. We were talking specifically about you. Because when
they should definitely take it personally. If I'm sorry.
I don't take it personally because, first of all, I don't really care when you say that I'm stupid on
I've
the
never
trade.
I've said you're stupid.
You have said it on the show. Not in person. Maybe it was so Jeremy. Jason, you said Jeremy was stupid.
So did you get us those left Bell numbers? How much is he going to miss if he misses all 10 games? How
he
much
didn't
money?
Do anything. He's sitting right there. He doesn't have a computer.
So
he doesn't have anything in front of him.
Well, I can actually give you guys some insight on that. And a lot of people, you know, just try to help him understand this. Lev Bell can actually sit out until week 10.
Okay.
And then he can sign. And he doesn't have to show up to practice. He will not get any fines or anything because he's not under contract. He can come back week 10, sign his tender, play the final 7 games, and what happens is that becomes an accrued season for him, so he can become a free agent. So he doesn't have to play all 17 games this year if he doesn't want to, really. But he won't collect any checks. Now, that's the other thing.
Are you buying on him? Just assume he misses 10 games this year. Just not in that league, the one you own him, obviously. But in other leagues, would you be buying on him right now?
Dynasty or redraft?
Dynasty. We don't talk about redraft on this show. Redraft. Unless that's what our fans like, then we love redraft.
Okay.
There are some times when we do speak about redraft, yes.
I do love FFPC redraft.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's where we are. Also, don't put your face right up against that.
That's what she said.
Sorry. Oh my God. So Jason, welcome to the show. It's a lot of fun.
Nice.
Huh?
It's a great time, guys. Great time.
So go ahead. You were saying, he asked you if you're buying him anywhere. Because I'm not.
I mean, I probably would still, just because, and I've been saying this for 2 years now, I think his destination is going to be Houston. So you put him with Nuke, Watson.
Nuke,
whatever. It's all pronounced the same. And, you know, you put them together with Watson, Bell, and Hopkins, and you got a pretty formidable offense right there.
Do you do this? Do you... use that as a basis for what you're doing? You're saying you believe he's going to go to Houston. Yeah. I mean, but that's your opinion. Is there any evidence anywhere that supports that, or is it just what you think?
Are you breaking news right now? Are you like Ian Rappaport?
I'm just saying. I have a friend, my friend Dynasty Greg, that I talk about sometimes. He says that this is going to happen. This guy's going here. And then he makes all these decisions based on what, like, he convinces himself that that's what's going to happen. Do you do that to yourself? Or
no.
You say that's where he's going?
Not at all. I am not a man just to throw things, you know, throw spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks.
Uh-huh.
But one thing that I do believe is just that, he has...
There's notes being written.
He has the Houston Texans have the salary cap to sign him.
Okay.
That's ultimately what it comes down to, is can they do it? And they can. And on top of the fact that Watkins is still on his rookie deal. You want to try to maximize on that as much as possible. So they can sign him to like a 5-year deal.
Have a 60 million. Front-loaded.
Yeah, and they would just try to front load more of the front, you know, or either that or just try to get it to where the first 3 years of the deal, all the guaranteed money would be gone. So this way, when Watson, when his deal comes up, they can get rid of Bell because he'll obviously be closer to 30 then, and they can just reallocate that money to Watson.
Cool.
We did have one question though.
Oh yeah, we saw there was like people feverishly writing down.
I thought of this on
down.
My own. Can they rescind that franchise tag at any time?
Yes, they actually.
And then he's a free agent.
And then he's a complete free agent. Go sign anywhere he wants.
So I was trying to figure this out. If they rescind that franchise offer week 10, and then he doesn't sign anywhere until week 11, could that team then tag him to be a franchise player?
No.
Okay.
Because if you send him the tag, then he'd just be an undrafted free agent at that point. So this way, yeah, so they can do that. And then basically, at that time, he can sign with anyone he wants.
E-A-G-L-E-S.
So do you want that? Yeah. You guys don't have the cap space.
Yeah.
I don't care. Howie will make it happen. He's a magician.
So enough with Bell. Like Shane always goes, enough about Bell. Let's go on. Is there any other contracts, any salary, anything coming up that you want some of the listeners to keep an eye on? Any players, big name players?
Yes, and it's one a lot of people are high on. I've seen. It seems like a consensus.
Not that kind
is,
of high, Shane.
McKinnon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
a lot of people.
Really?
A lot of people think they signed him to this deal. He's going to be there. Well, if you actually looked at the details of the contract, it's extremely heavily front-loaded. It's really only a one-year deal. So if they want to get rid of him next year, they can easily do that. I think it'd only be like $1 million dead money hit.
$1.5 million.
So they could easily get rid of him. And, I mean, this is another team a lot of people have on there. I just don't think they would do it. And you could just sign Lev Bell if they wanted to. I just don't see Shanahan doing that.
Now, I've seen him cut in dynasty leagues.
Who?
McKinnon.
McKinnon, yeah.
Because same thing. People looked at it. It's... $1.5 million. He's gone. He's shit canned after this year.
Right.
There's no way they're bringing him back because I think the actual salary is another $10 million.
Yeah, next year it jumps up incredibly.
Yeah,
so he won't be able to justify
it. It was a 1-year prove it deal. Unfortunately,
I wasn't gonna prove it. I just think it was more of there was no one else available.
Well, that's true, and they had a shit ton of space.
Exactly.
Too,
so that's why they front loaded the heck out of it, and they have to be within an 85% threshold over the last 5 years of their salary cap in order to do that stuff.
He gone.
What about somebody? Is there anybody that people would care about? You know, like when you said McKinnon, Shane was like, forget him.
Right.
Is there any
Well,
I'm just saying, any big name guys like the Bell situation where you're trying to figure out where Bell may go next year? Is there anything maybe next year that someone's contract is going to be coming up next year?
Absolutely.
Like, how far out do you go when you start looking at that?
Usually I try to stay within like 3 or 4 years just because, you know, football's so volatile.
Right.
Another guy that a lot of people have high on their list is, as far as wide receivers, is Mike Evans.
Okay.
He could be cut next year for zero dead money. The team would save almost $17 million in cutting him. So if he's not producing at a $17 million level, peace out, Mike Evans.
It's
and also
Chris Godwin's wide receiver.
And
one
actually,
all of a sudden.
That's what I was about to say. I don't know if Shane's been on that bandwagon, but if you actually look the way that the Buccaneers did the contract, it actually coincides with Chris Godwin's.
Really?
Yeah. It's where when Chris Godwin's a free agent, they can cut Evans.
I don't think they planned it that way, only because Chris Godwin was still in college when they signed Evans to that contract, right?
No, he signed last year.
You sure it was last year?
Yeah.
It's a long time ago. I'm going to have to look that up and get back to you.
But Shane barely remembers yesterday.
Yeah,
so.
I know. And I do like a lot of times when we're doing the show, we always say, I wish people could see the screen. Right now, everybody could see everything. But they can't see behind Irwin when you're shooting us. When you said Mike Evans, everybody's head started shaking. Yep. They all agreed with that
right.
one.
Okay.
And then, another wide receiver group to look
yes.
at is also the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
They have DT and Sanders. They just drafted Sutton and Sean Hamilton.
Yeah.
They can cut both DT and Sanders next year and save $25 million for a salary cap.
So those are guys that you would tell people to pay attention to that next year, the year after. And that's the kind of stuff you'd talk about on your show.
Yep. Stay a year ahead.
Cool.
Always be a year early. Better a year early than a year late.
Well, is there anything else you want to tell everybody about your show or about yourself or anything like that? Shane's pointing to the piece of paper, so.
Yeah, we also do some Capology fantasy quick takes.
Okay,
Factory quick takes, sorry about that. Factory quick takes.
Right.
So you can catch some of those things on there. We break down the three top six wide receiver contracts. So everyone get an idea of that.
All right, cool. Well, thank you for coming on here and doing all this stuff. We do have one more person, but he just took off, and now he's coming back. So we're going to have Eric come in and talk about his show. And is there anything else you wanted to promote or anything?
No,
to
just
say?
Nope. Just everyone just take a listen to Capology 101. You can find us on, we have our own Twitter handle, Capology 101. And we're on Spotify, iTunes, and Podbean.
We're not on Spotify.
For whatever
really
reason,
annoying.
For whatever reason, the Spotify thing.
All you have to do is, guys, apply. All you have to do is apply.
I did apply. I've applied twice.
Oh,
and
boy.
For whatever reason, it hasn't
like
gone through.
Don't
I don't
like
know.
It's my fault.
It's all Shane's fault. You know what it is? Guaranteed. You know, I guarantee they've heard how many curse words they've heard on here.
Yeah.
And they said, no, thank you.
They heard my voice and they were like, wait, is this a meth head podcast?
You know what? I never thought about that. I the first time I wasn't sure what happened, but now that you mention it, it's the second time and I still haven't heard back. So
that's Shane's holding you back here.
We'll have to get into that again.
Yes.
Dead weight.
Well, thanks a lot.
All right, guys, thanks a lot.
Talk to you later. And then I know we were going to try to rotate more than just one person out at a time, but
I'll leave.
It's kind of worked out this way that you stayed. So just stay.
I don't have a choice. I'm in the middle.
Well, I know, and it's working out.
I feel like this was done purposely.
So now we. It's working. Okay, cool. So now we have the newest member of the team, the newest member of Dynasty Football Factory. He's also going to have a new show, podcast.
Are we allowed to talk about that?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not Fight Club. We can talk about it.
Shh.
So welcome to the show, Eric. You want to tell everybody about yourself and about your new show?
Thank you very much, Michael and Shane, of course. My new show is going to be the Rush the Field podcast. It's going to structure around college fantasy football. Sorry. Oh,
put it in
oh
face.
No, I'm mute.
In your face.
Gosh, the windscreen, everything, right in the face. We're going to be focusing on college fantasy football in general. You know, I know you guys are a little more advanced than I am when it comes to dynasty and the pro angles, but my sincere passion for the past 18 years has been college fantasy football. And because I don't have a true home football team. I don't have any real allegiances such as Michigan, Notre Dame, any of that. I just go where the points are, baby.
Cool.
All business.
and you said a little earlier, you're actually new to Twitter itself. You're not only new to our website, but you're new to Twitter too. What's your Twitter handle for everybody to go?
My Twitter handle is NCFFExpert, NCFF Expert at Twitter.
And how is it that you're
or
just
at NCFF Twitter?
Yes, like we
just
said,
you're me at Twitter. No problem. You'll find me.
How is it that is that the case that you're new on Twitter? You just never did it before. You didn't want to. What was this?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm old, but I'd say I'm seasoned in terms of.
You're not as old as us.
No,
I'm younger than me. No, wait, he's older than me.
You might be surprised,
no way.
Guys. I've had gray hair since I was 15, so I've always looked, you know, pretty
wait,
old.
Yeah, but
I'm
you're
41.
Not.
Yeah, you said he's 41. He's younger. I'm older. No,
you're
he's older.
No,
I'm 39.
So
you're
Capology guy.
Wait a second.
Capology guy.
Wait a
second.
Some
verification. I'm 39. I'm younger than him, right?
Okay, I believe so.
I actually thought you were closer to me, but I guess that's why you always call me Pop Pop.
That way. I had a rough life, man.
Yeah, actually, after the last 2 days, you're right. I thought you were closer. Okay, so go ahead. So you're saying
we're gonna have an age Capology podcast. I think we're gonna handicap them when you have us on the video. But yeah, that's I'm currently. Submitted a couple of columns so far. I just put in my latest one, which is a 5,052-word recap of my home draft, which is kind of unique in college fantasy football circles in that it doesn't use a waiver wire. We have 38 roster spots with which you have to field your team, and you have to go through the entire season, including buys, attrition with injuries, things of that nature, and making sure that you handcuff your important players, because being a keeper format, handcuffs become important when you don't have the waiver wire with 130 teams to utilize. So it adds a different dimension that a lot of the other college fantasy football leagues don't have, because there's such a vast waiver wire, you don't really have to look at the total picture.
Right.
That's kind of you know, what I really bring to the table, I think, that's a little different than some of the others in the industry.
How long have you been doing that league?
I've been doing it for 18 years.
We started
it. Yeah. Started in my backyard in 2001 on Labor Day. We broke a lot of lawn furniture that day. It was a keg, among other things. But we started it just kind of seat of our pants. We were doing it by hand in terms of you know, putting putting all the stats together. There was no resources that we could use that could do it manually. This is the dial-up era of CompuServe and AOL. So
Earthlink.
We had to get creative with how we put everything together. But in doing so, with my friends, the league has only grown. It's become more. We've gone through every possible sort of litigation of how to structure the league, how it's different than the NFL. I like to get into rules and how you shouldn't make your college fantasy football league exactly like a pro league because they are two different entities.
Right.
So I really would like to get into that, certainly, as one of the things I focus on my podcast, is how to properly structure your college fantasy football league so that it's fair and at the same time everybody gets the most out of it.
So currently you said that article is on the website at Dynasty Football Factory?
Actually, it's out for editing.
Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately.
As you might imagine, 5,000 words. Takes a little while to edit.
I'm not going to get to that one, unfortunately. I'm off this week, but 5,900 words sounds really awesome about a subject I know nothing about. So really sad that I'm going to miss out on editing that one.
Who's going to be editing it then?
I don't care. Brad Mack. Our buddy BMAC. It's his birthday, by the way.
So there you go.
Oh, great. 5,000
Happy
words.
Birthday, Brad.
Happy birthday,
yeah,
Brad.
Happy I mean, we're live, so one of these cameras over here can say happy birthday, Brad.
Hey, happy birthday, Brad. I don't know how old you are, buddy. I'm guessing about 34.
You don't even
you
know how old you are.
So. 5,000 words, Brad.
Yeah, so pass that off to one of the newbies.
So then what exactly... So, yeah, why don't you tell everybody about your podcast and when you're going to get started with it and everything.
It should be in the next couple of weeks. My co-host is going to be Kevin Mount, who's a well-known CFF insider. He worked for College Fantasy Football Geek, which was really the first college fantasy football website in existence that I really knew of. And there isn't a lot of deep college fantasy football content out there in a podcast format. There's some good entertaining shows that kind of get to the basics and go through the top 20 at each position or so. But they're not looking at it from a system point of view, coaching movement, things of that nature. They're a little more involved topics I'd really like to get into.
I was just asking him to move the mic closer to you. And then when are you guys getting ready? You said not that close, but I had to turn the feed way up to hear you.
You know, with podcasting, I remember Tyler Gunther, our buddy at DHH, actually said you should be close enough to the mic to kiss it. Well, that was his advice to me. I'm just saying. So.
Well, that's fine. But look at his
mouth. Yeah. No, that's fine. That's perfect. Yeah.
We're getting acquainted. Me, the mic, Shane.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah. That's
look, we're in Vegas, baby. Strange shit happens. Threesomes with inanimate objects. Whatever.
Oh, well, maybe we have entered Fight Club territory.
Yeah, go ahead.
Inanimate objects. What about animate? Okay. You're right. Tangents.
So could you give me one piece of advice for college fantasy leagues? I guess it's a little late for drafts. So for my waivers, who should I be looking to grab? Name anyone because I don't know anybody.
For specific pro waivers, if you're looking at a Devy standpoint?
No, I want to win the college league.
You want to win the college league?
One college fantasy football league with a guy we both know, Thor.
Sure, absolutely.
And, I'm terrible at it. So I had a lot
what
of help.
What else is new?
Thor's a good friend of mine. We're actually going to the Minnesota Vikings LA Rams game coming up in a few Thursdays in LA, and he'll be staying at my house. So we'll be talking much CFF. But if you wanted me to give one guy who was not drafted that I feel could be an impact player,
Shane already closed his computer. So hold on.
good, Sean. You don't need that for this resource. I would say that a popular, trendy pick was Ohio University quarterback Nathan Rourke, who in our league, even though it's a keeper league, was the number two overall pick after the keepers were all taken. Nathan Rourke, within the first quarter of their first game against a lower division opponent, was overtaken by a gentleman by the name of Quentin Maxwell. And it looks like he could be the guy going forward to lead Frank Solich's estimated possibly 41 to 42 points per game offense. And that's really what you want to do in college fantasy football is you want to target the high-octane offenses that are, and especially in a group of five format like the MAC, where Ohio is located, they're going to be rolling those inferior teams within their own conference. And you want to have those powerful teams in smaller conferences once they get into conference play that are just going to help, especially with the value perspective of Quentin Maxwell, where he's available on the wire, and the guy he's replacing was a top 10 quarterback. So where you look for value, and if I were to try to, you know, hit somebody on the wire before this week, obviously games have started, I would say Quentin Maxwell.
Doesn't help me. This is your fault because I didn't interview you until now.
I'm sorry, Shane.
So when your podcast starts, though, you'll have stuff like that on there, waiver wire.
Sure.
Strategy.
Absolutely. DFS is back in college, which is a huge, huge boon to the industry and is something that you know, everybody's going to be looking towards because, heck, by the time week 3-4 rolls around, some people are already 0-3 or there's players that they want to acquire and want to watch that they simply can't in the seasonal format. So we'll focus on DFS. We'll focus on start sits. We'll certainly do some waiver wire priorities. Talk about player movement. Injuries are obviously huge because attrition is a big part of college fantasy football, and you want to make sure you have that next guy up in those powerful systems. Additionally, I'd also like to do a Legends Corner segment because, as I mentioned, I've been doing college fantasy football for 18 years, and there have been some legends that simply haven't... A lot of the college football legends that I think are legends aren't the same guys that you might think of legends as a professional football player.
Right, right.
But I don't care how they do in the pros. I just simply do not care. So I want to talk about the guys like Timmy Chang for Hawaii. Hawaii's so
Timmy
hot
Chang.
Right now.
Yeah,
Timmy
that.
Chang. I mean, he threw interceptions, but he threw for yards, and that's what we want.
And that kind of passion sounds fun.
Oh, gosh. Well, that was in the dark ages, back before college fantasy football or any fantasy was really existed. Ty Detmer was early 90s. So, obviously, he put up giant numbers for that era. You know, him, David Klingler, those quarterbacks before there was the air raid proliferation, the RPOs, the spread offenses that you're dealing with now, that really opened up the game. So I do want to go back and recognize the forefathers
cool.
of the college fantasy football world and guys like Dan LeFever, Bruce Gradkowski, who was a longtime backup.
Bruce, yeah.
You know, small school quarterbacks, small school running backs and wide receivers who were legends and really made an impact on the college fantasy football landscape. I'd like to go and give them their due now that it is a lot bigger than it was when they were playing.
Cool.
So.
Well, we're gonna wrap up here because this set of drafts are finishing up, and there's gonna be another set in a little while. But before we go, mention the name of your podcast again and your Twitter.
Sure, it is the Rush the Field podcast. It'll be coming within the next couple of weeks, and my Twitter handle is @. Right? Is that
yes?
How I do it?
@
NCFF expert.
You can find me on the Twitters at now.
The Twitter sphere.
Well, I think so. We're going to wrap it up, too, though.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, we're going to wrap everything up.
We appreciate you coming on. I'll be reaching out to you this season to help me with my college fantasy football league because I don't know what's going on.
Well, yeah, thanks for everybody listening. Thanks for everybody watching. Say bye to all the viewers out there. And we're going to wrap it up, and we're going to come back later on, I think. But for now, we're done. So okay. We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks a lot.
One down.
Ready, boy.
Oh, my brain hurts.